Master.
Okay, now you sound way too close to Darth Vader, and that shit's freaking me out.
Lorelai laughed, very much with him rather than at him. He felt a bit better. She was good at making him feel better.
I mean it, though. I know age is arbitrary, but it's good enough. No jailbait for me.
Oh, I cannot help it if you earn such attention all on your own, Lorelai said. But I swear that I shall do nothing to encourage it.
So that effect that I've been having on women since we met won't hit them?
That can't be so narrowly defined. Base desires do not check anyone's driver's license. However, the depth of your attraction plays a role. As you are less interested in younger women, they will be less affected. In truth, that effect is as much a matter of luck and timing as anything else. She chuckled a bit, adding, given our earlier activities, you may find your luck and charm especially potent tonight.
I'll try to be careful, then.
You might consider having some fun with it. Lorelai shrugged. It would make me happy. That effect isn't mind control. There is no supernatural compulsion. It's not even as deceptive or manipulative as alcohol.
It is simply easy to tell that you would not disappoint.
Her hand stroked along his groin. But back to your commands, Master. She whispered hotly into his ear.
No married women.
Aww. Lorelai pouted, lightly but somewhat genuinely. Not even unhappily married women who deserve a little illicit fun.
Look, on the off chance that thou shalt not covet is for real, I'm willing to forgo the women with rings on their fingers. Unless there's a cheat sheet on what is and isn't a mitigating circumstance.
She shrugged. Not that I can recite to you, no.
Well, the main interest I have here is in not hurting anyone, emotionally or otherwise.
You have made that abundantly clear, and I have been mindful of it in all that I've done.
Speaking of,
Alex said and then swallowed. This one worried him.
My mom.
Lorelai intoned tauntingly. Before you speak on that, may I ask something of you? He gave a grumbling sigh, but she was hard to resist.
Can't guarantee I'll be okay with it.
I have broken none of these restrictions thus far, and I shall not. You have voiced that you wish to trust me, and I long for your trust. May I keep a few secrets to myself? Her tone was as dripping with teasing sexuality as it had been at any other time since they'd met. Alex stiffened in his seat, trembling from something other than the cold.
Now I know something's going on.
No, you strongly suspect, Lorelai corrected, and the unknown is almost always more disturbing than the truth. Almost. As I said this morning, your mother is harmed in no way. She has simply become happier and more confident. She is as safe from me as you are, more so, in fact. So the question becomes, if there is something going on, do you truly mind?
Again, he gulped. Okay, look, she looks great, and if that makes her happy, then I'm happy for her. I just don't want her to,
You don't want her to change as a person?
Yeah, has she?
No, Lorelai answered. I cannot guarantee that she won't flirt or get attention. She certainly will, especially the latter. But no, Michelle is still entirely the mother you have always known. Just much sexier. Her hand slid down between his legs again. You can't blame a girl for enjoying herself when a man thinks she's sexy.
Still, maybe we'd better just move on.
Oh, I can dance around this particular pole all night if you wish.
Puns. You're making puns. That's awesome.
What else do you want to talk about? She asked sweetly.
So, your money. I don't want to go spending your money, but...
Your money now, Master.
No, I don't want to take things from you.
Alex, she said, a bit more seriously. Imagine that my life could be dramatically improved if I only had more dried leaves. Suppose that for whatever reason,
I cannot collect many myself. You could, however. They're often all around you. Would you not share whatever leaves you found? Given your affection for me, wouldn't you gather them in great bundles, well beyond my actual need, simply to provide me with comfort? That's all it's worth to you? I would have thought demons would be more materialistic. It's a fair comparison. I prefer a life of luxury, but I can do without it freely. Not every one of my victims has been someone of wealth and power. I have taken many a turn in the guise of a poor peasant. Money is merely a means to an end, and I have power, age, and experience that mortals do not. I can always acquire more.
I just don't want it to go to my head. I'm already being spoiled beyond anything rational, as it is, just with sex. You want to add money to that, too? I'll go nuts.
If greed was one of your driving motivations, I think we would have been having a very different conversation, Alex. Perhaps over a dead man's bank accounts?
Who says I won't become greedy over time?
Anything's possible, but again, I rather doubt it. You do not strike me as the materialistic type. Many people want only enough money to provide general security and some small measure of amusement, and are satisfied with that. They simply don't get talked about. You live in a city where the wealthy generally don't flaunt their fortune. Seattle has more than its share of millionaires, yet this is not a city of ostentation. Alex thought about it and shrugged.
You said I wouldn't object to your money. Is it legal?
More or less. Lorelei nodded. I don't exactly have a birth certificate or social security number. A government accountant might find some discrepancies in my taxes. The actual money comes from legitimate business. More or less. Again, nothing you would object to, or I would confess it right now. Leave this matter to me as another secret? She asked, again very sweetly. She kissed his neck. He swallowed.
How many secrets do you want to keep?
He felt her smile against his neck. Only the harmless and entertaining sort. Alex couldn't object to that.
All right. But where are we going anyway? You said downtown, but not where.
Lorelei leaned back thoughtfully. I would suggest a few boutiques, but they may take more time than we want to spend. We also haven't decided how to present our relationship to others. Pacific Place should be fine for now.
Ooh, shit, man. Look, shit.
Fuck, what?
What?
Javon grimaced. The jostling hand on his shoulder made him squeeze his Big Mac too hard, spurting goop out one side. He quickly checked his saggy pants and his Air Jordans for special sauce.
That bitch right there,
Tony continued, pointing at the convertible waiting at the light. Javon and Mike both looked over across the street and the car.
Damn, now that's a piece of ass, Mike observed sagely. Yeah, but you gotta go grabbing me like that,
Javon said, his expression still pointedly disapproving. The last thing he wanted was a stain running down his pants all night. It annoyed Javon that Tony didn't see his intimidating stare, too.
That's the bitch who fucked Damon to death last year,
Tony said. Javon's scowl only deepened.
What?
He said, in a high-pitched, skeptical tone. But Tony was running off already, headed up the block to watch the car as it made a left turn and headed around the block.
Crazy fucking cracker, he muttered.
Javon sometimes took a lot of heat from other friends for keeping a white boy like Tony around, but he stood his ground on it. He and Tony had been tight since they'd been thrown out of middle school together. Javon was bigger than all that racial bullshit. Only sometimes his friend would go acting like a crazy white boy in front of other people. Javon knew it wasn't because Tony was white. He knew crazy black folks, too. But that didn't make it any easier to defend Tony when he ran off after cars, claiming that one of the occupants had killed a homie with her snatch.
Your boy's tripping, man.
Mike chuckled, shaking his head.
Yeah, don't I know?
Javon muttered, and then called out, Tony, man, get back here. He got a good bite out of his Big Mac as Tony jogged back. Settling whatever was up Tony's ass might take until his burger cooled, and that would irritate Javon further.
They just went into the mall. That's her, I'm sure of it.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Mike said. Last year, like at that New Year's party, right? It was just after Tyrell got popped by the cops for busting a cap and... We know, Javon said firmly. He also knew it was really Damon who'd been the shooter.
Tyrell was nowhere near it, and would never have shot anyone in his life.
But there was no telling the cops that without ratting on Damon, and nobody wanted to be a snitch, even if it meant Tyrell went to prison. Everyone had pressured Damon to come clean, all to no avail. Then Damon turned up dead a few days later.
What about it?
Look, I know you was in lockup at the time, but at the party, there was this fine-ass girl. She hooked up with Damon, told his girl, Kamisha, to sit down and shut up, and she did, man. His girl shut right the fuck up. And then, they just went upstairs to Damon's apartment, and they started going at it, man. Fucking screaming, bed making all kind of noise, like, oh, fuck me, Damon, oh, shit.
Tony, Javon frowned, don't make me slap you.
Tony waved off the threat, but he calmed down. Right, so they were up there the rest of the night, right? Only I had left my phone up in Damon's apartment before the party, so I had to go back there. I hear him still banging away the next damn day, man. I didn't want to interrupt, because that's not cool, so I left. But Kamisha, she interrupted, man, like a lot. Or tried to, anyway. She went shouting and knocking at that door like 3 different times that day. And the next, she said, and she kept hearing the same shit too. More pounding, more fucking. She's all yelling at them through the door, and neither one of them stopped for nothing. Mike seemed to find it amusing. Javon's poor, neglected Big Mac made it hard for him to enjoy the story. Instead, he just stared at Tony. He'd heard something of this before, but not in detail. All he knew was that Damon hooked up with some porn star-type bitch at New Year's and then turned up dead in his apartment a few days later. And the next day, it's like day 3 by now, I go by his apartment, cause he ain't answering his phone, and I still hear fucking. But I don't hear Damon no more, not like I did before, just a bit of wheezing or something. Mike laughed and made a mimicking motion and wheezing noise to give his impression of an elderly man giving it to a woman from behind. He smacked an imaginary ass with a shaking, arthritic hand. And then, the next day, Kamisha went by again and smelled something awful in his apartment and got the landlord. And Damon was stone cold dead, motherfucker. Javon sighed. So? So, man, that bitch fucked him to death. Mike burst out laughing again, but Tony was serious. And nobody saw Damon's stash or any of the money he'd been sitting on after that. Remember? Javon nodded. He remembered that part. He didn't know about the story of Damon's death, though, because nobody knew much. Nobody had asked Kamisha for her side of things, because nobody liked that angry bitch anyway. The one silver lining in Damon's death was that Kamisha didn't come around anymore.
Wait. What money?
Mike asked, his laughter fading.
Damon was moving a lot of coke before he died,
Javon said quietly.
Moving, or maybe he already moved it. But nobody knows if the cops got the money and just didn't say nothing, or if someone else grabbed it.
Javon looked at Mike and waited for the wheels to turn in his head. Neither Javon nor Mike believed that Damon had died from too much pussy. That was stupid. But the notion that a woman as hot as that one was in his apartment looking less for sex and more for cash was believable. Damon had died. Tyrell went to jail partly because Damon wasn't around to clear his name. Not that he'd have ever done so, realistically. All that money just disappeared. And there was the last person who had seen Damon alive driving by.
They went into the mall parking garage? Javon asked.
Lorelai smelled him almost as soon as they came off the escalator from the bottom floor. She didn't recognize the individual, but she knew the type. Turning around would do no good. Even if he didn't catch her scent yet, he might pick it up later and investigate, and then discover her vulnerability. This had to be dealt with quickly and decisively, and preferably not in front of Alex. She needed a way to keep him occupied. I would guess that you don't have a clear idea of what sort of clothes you'd like to see me in, she said. At least in public. I figured you should just wear whatever you like. You'd look good in anything. I'd be happy with you in jeans and a t-shirt or whatever's comfortable.
Hmm, you do prefer a bit of glamour, though. That much is plain.
Well, I don't know who doesn't appreciate someone taking the trouble to look good. But I wouldn't expect that all the time. Can't be wine and roses every night of the week.
She smiled. Silly master.
Hey, you should really call me Alex, he whispered to her.
Oh, no one's listening to us.
Alex,
she added as a concession. What you mean to say is that because you do not go to great effort for fashion, you wouldn't expect it of others.
He looked down at his outfit, frowning. It's not like I'm a slob, he muttered.
Well, you love various goth looks, Lorelai continued, and business casual with a hint of sexiness. I imagine you would rejoice if all the world's hipsters died in flames.
I wouldn't use that turn of phrase in front of someone like you, but sure, trying too hard to make a point of looking like you're not trying. Past that, I guess I just like whatever works for a given woman. If you want me to pick out clothes for you, it's going to be a disaster. I want you to get what you want. I'm pretty sure you look great in just about anything.
Lorelai nodded. I can accept that. She slipped her hand in his. However, we should begin at the beginning. Lorelai led him with calm, confident purpose toward a shop that Alex hadn't dared set foot in since he was 10 years old and at his mother's side. He tried to protest.
This is a lingerie store.
It's not especially racy. They provide more than lingerie.
Yeah, like 5 tight shirts and some hand lotion,
Alex said. She didn't slow down. They were really going into this trendy, spacious store for things that Alex honestly didn't know how to discuss with other women without sounding perverted. I would prefer a more upscale store specializing in more alluring intimate wear, Lorelai admitted. But this works for now.
Isn't bringing me in here going to be,
awkward? No. Many ladies bring their men in here to explain what they'd like to see in the bedroom. Isn't that right? Lorelai asked the sales associate, who suddenly appeared right in front of the couple. Absolutely. She smiled boldly, without missing a beat. Alex's gaze rose up from the floor to trace quickly up those shapely legs and black lace stockings, a tight, knee-length black skirt, and an ample bust under a black tee. His eyes finally settled on her rather pretty face. Pert nose, smooth skin, short, curly black hair, amusement in her almond eyes. Hi, I'm Audrey, she said, offering her hand. I'm the store manager. Alex blinked. Store managers didn't randomly offer to shake hands. She was clearly fucking with him only because this was so embarrassing. He considered dying right there on the spot. Instead, he simply shook her hand and mumbled,
Hi, I'm Alex.
Audrey winked. Then, as Lorelai spoke again, her expression seemed to change. The hot lingerie store manager started looking at Alex like he would make an exciting addition to her bedroom furniture. My boyfriend here has been a bit deprived, Lorelai said to Audrey. She stood closer to the other woman than necessary, speaking almost directly into her ear. He's, well, forgive me for being so forward, but he's a thrill a minute in the bedroom. I'd do literally anything he asked of me, but he just doesn't know what to ask for. No idea what to call things. Religious upbringing. I see. Audrey nodded. Her eyes were locked on Alex's. So now that he's free to enjoy himself, I'd love to make sure he has a good time. You know, wear the right things to drive him mad. I couldn't ever blame any woman for throwing herself at him. Anyway, I think he could stand an education from an expert. I'd be more than happy to help, Audrey offered. Her chest rose and fell a bit heavily. I've got a lot of shopping to do, and the mall won't be open too much longer. Could I leave him in your capable hands? I'm sure he'll show a lot of gratitude. Her tone conveyed a very clear offer. Absolutely, Audrey said. She still had his hand. Lorelai leaned over and kissed his neck. Let go and have some fun, master, she hissed. It will be good for all 3 of us.
What? Are you leaving?
Alex blinked.
I've another spot to visit here, and not much time tonight, Lorelai said as she walked away. I'll know when you're ready to leave.
Javon, Tony, and Mike were wandering the terraces of Pacific Place when they spotted their prey leaving the store alone.
We gonna go get her?
Mike asked.
What, right here in the middle of the mall?
Tony frowned.
This is rich people's mall. Cops will be on us like flies on shit if we screw up.
He's right, Javon nodded.
But we ought to let her go anyway. Think I saw her boy still in the store. She'll come back.
So what, you want to wait?
If that bitch really did do Damon, she gotta be like mob or some shit,
Javon thought aloud.
For real. But her boy there, he looked like he's her kid brother or something.
He's the weak link. We grab him. It don't matter if we get her right away or not. She'll have to play ball.
The fuck's he doing in there anyway?
Tony grumbled. Javon scowled.
Maybe homeboy needs some new panties?
These are thongs, and these are what we call boycott panties, which is what I generally prefer.
Audrey explained with that cool, teasing smile. She played the whole lecturer angle fairly straight, but her grin, the look in her eyes, and the way she stayed well within Alex's personal space hinted at much more of an educational experience than simple vocabulary lessons. Alex felt like he could die. This was embarrassing. It was also irresistible, entirely because of Audrey's physical nearness and the looks she gave him as she took him through her store.
You see, a little bit more skin with thongs, of course, but there are times when less is more. Boycott panties hold a little more allure.
I can imagine that,
he replied, managing a grin. The urge to flirt back slowly began to overtake his embarrassment.
It's probably best if I just give a hands-on demonstration, she mused. Maybe something a little more intimate?
Okay, perhaps this isn't something to die over,
Alex considered, as he felt her breath on his right ear and the side of his neck.
Alex Carlyle?
A voice asked. He looked up. Across the table, full of thongs and lacy boy shorts, stood the tall, lovely girl who'd kept at least a quarter of his higher brain functions preoccupied through his junior and senior years. She had, unwittingly and innocently, and he knew it, cost him many hours of sleep. He turned up late for his second crack at the SATs when she had had a flat tire and called him in a panic, unable to find anyone else. He missed pretty much every decent play his high school football team made because he paid more attention to her in her cheerleading uniform. He hadn't seen her in over a year. She went to the University of Washington. He went to community college. Proximity hardly mattered. They didn't turn up at the same parties. There was nothing but brief, infrequent communication online. Now here she was, in snug black slacks, a similarly snug black tee, a headset over her tied back brown hair, and a name tag that read Taylor. This was now definitely something to die over. Right here, right now, heart attack, stroke, brain aneurysm, any second now.
You two know each other?
Audrey said, needing only a second to recover.
We went to high school together?
Taylor said warily.
Hi, Taylor.
Alex managed.
How are you?
What are you doing here? Alex is shopping for his girlfriend.
Audrey smiled.
I thought I'd help him out.
Taylor's brow knit with disbelief.
You're buying your girlfriend lingerie?
Well, we hadn't gotten to talking about the relationship labels yet, you know,
Alex offered awkwardly. It was honest enough.
I mean, we just met recently. How are you doing? Did I ask that already?
You did?
She said, eyes narrowing suspiciously. She couldn't help but notice that Audrey was holding Alex's hand.
Taylor, I'm going to take my dinner break now.
Audrey broke in.
While I'm gone, could you count down the registers? We've done a lot of cash today.
Sure, Taylor nodded slowly.
She moved off without breaking her gaze right away. Lorelai strode along the walkway that wrapped around the 5-story open atrium of the mall, opening her senses to pin down her quarry's location. It took longer than it should have. She found her senses as dulled as the rest of her abilities. Given that deficiency, she didn't trust in her ability to conceal herself, either. Not yet. She couldn't guess how long it would take before she fully recovered. That was entirely up to Alex and his ability to overcome his inhibitions. He was finally on his way, and she felt better already. But there was a long way to desire. The sensation took her by surprise. It felt sharper and more intense than the mere lust on sight that she'd left him with. This was deep, serious longing, and so very delicious. Aged, at least relative to his short span of sexual maturity. Knowing his desires as she did, Lorelai had a deep suspicion of whom he'd encountered. That was intriguing. The feeling was soon muted, but not erased. Longing like that, born at such a young age, would never entirely fade. For now, though, he was distracted by that earlier, newer desire for Audrey, who was mutually interested. Eventually, as Lorelai continued her search, that desire built in anticipation. Every moment of it left her feeling that much stronger. Alex wasn't running away from it at all. She felt him embrace this current lust. Then she located the source of the smell. He was upstairs in one of the restaurants. Lorelai got onto the escalators, ascending to the top of the mall. It was the Asian seafood buffet. That made sense. He had even established invisible wards around the place. A week ago, she could have crushed such defenses with ease, but now it would take effort. Once inside, she would be under constant assault on levels no mortal would sense. She gave better than even odds that he'd sensed her presence, but she waited outside anyway. Perhaps he'd come out. The delay benefited her regardless. Timing often made all the difference in the world. It wouldn't show to observers, but this confrontation would likely be very draining. A small shiver ran through her. The many passers-by looking her up and down didn't notice, but she welcomed every sensation. This was only the beginning. Satisfaction would eventually follow, as would nourishment. There. Right there. Oh, so good. Good boy. Very good boy. Feeling better prepared, the succubus walked into the restaurant.
"It's all a matter of how things come off," Audrey explained softly to the guest seated on the cushioned chair in front of her. She swayed and touched him freely, shielded from scrutiny by the tall dressing room door, and the Kylie Minogue music piped through the store PA system. "Anticipation makes it better." The store manager turned her back to him, gyrating subtly. She took Alex's hand in hers and guided it to the zipper on her skirt. He no longer looked like a deer in her headlights. Part of him remained very conscious that Taylor was out there somewhere, but he had put the worst of those feelings behind him a while ago. That just wasn't going to happen. Taylor never thought of him as more than a friend. She had gone to UW with her basketball star boyfriend. He went to community college. He had certainly moved on in the last couple of nights. Life wasn't about finding true love with your unrequited crush from high school. That fairy tale sold movie tickets, but it wasn't real. Reality involved getting burned a few times as you grew up. Taylor had taught him that much, at least, and he didn't owe her anything. He didn't owe anyone loyalty or monogamy until there was mutual agreement, and until then, there were other fish in the sea. Some fish wore skirts that slid from their hips to reveal lacy black boy shorts and thigh-high stockings that altogether highlighted a nice ass.
"Like how that comes off?"
She grinned over her shoulder.
"I do."
Alex nodded. He was cooler about this now, in the moment. Audrey had never burned him and wasn't expecting anything but some fun. Maybe she'd always fantasized about taking a guy into the dressing room. Maybe she'd done it before.
"Don't be shy," she said,
shifting her stance this way and that to give him a good look.
"Visuals are important, but this is also a full contact sport."
Alex smirked at her sex ed act.
His hands brushed up stocking-clad legs, over her hips, along the small of her back. She sighed in appreciation.
I should see how these come off, he suggested.
You really should,
Audrey breathed. His fingers hooked under the lace, slowly lowering them as she bent and twisted to accommodate the removal.
Wow,
Alex smiled softly.
I like these. They enhance the big reveal. But most of that comes down to who's wearing them.
It does,
Audrey said, turning and lowering herself to him. She took up his collar and pulled him into a passionate, hungry kiss. He drew her in close. She broke off, needing to come up for air. Audrey inhaled heavily, eyes wide as she looked at her playmate with an excited grin. She sat in his lap, almost grinding her body against his, but then thought better of it. She pulled her weight off of him.
See what I mean about anticipation?
I think so.
Alex nodded. He had nothing on his mind other than showing her some real appreciation. Even the worry about someone busting the two of them in this dressing room faded. Admittedly, there was somewhat less blood in his brain than usual. It had flooded to a more immediately useful organ. Audrey could see that much in Alex's eyes. Saw it, reveled in it. She grabbed at his belt buckle, jerking it loose and away.
I think you still deserve a full demonstration of the payoff for dressing effectively.
She grinned. His hands stayed on her hips, right where she wanted them, and as soon as she tugged his pants down, those hands pulled her very close. They didn't need to fumble much. Both of them were quite ready, having indulged in an alternative sort of foreplay for the last 10 minutes. Alex was inexperienced with lingerie, but by now he understood anatomy just fine. Audrey expected he would be well endowed, but she naturally figured that there might have been a bit of a bend to him, maybe a little give to his flesh. Audrey found nothing of the sort. She didn't expect the solid, large, unyielding stiffness that gloriously penetrated her as he pulled her hips up onto his. She wasn't normally noisy, but she couldn't hold back her helpless grunts. Her eyes didn't normally roll back either, but they did this time because this guy felt so goddamn good. Mr. Right Now rocked her forward onto him, giving her another mind-splitting rush. She grunted again, hands clutching at his shoulders, wanting to kiss him and laugh out loud and beg for more all at once. His hands spread over her hips, steadying her and taking some of her weight while making her feel deliciously dirty. He'd just gotten started, and didn't seem like he was going to stop anytime soon. But she felt herself building to a climax already. This fling would likely get her off more than once. His lips fell around the side of her neck right below her ear.
Oh, fuck me,
she breathed.
Gladly, Alex hissed.
Lorelai found him at a table alone. He'd probably had guests earlier, but they were long gone. The demon sat alone in his cheap suit in front of a broad spread of food and a rising stack of now empty plates. A waiter passed by and looked on with obvious disgust, but only behind the demon's back. He looked up as she entered. He was good-looking, at least in guise. His body was a touch on the bulky side, creating a jolly image, disarming. He could charm and would have been good at that, but he wasn't made to seduce. At least, he didn't seduce with flesh. He chewed and grunted in acknowledgement while he dabbed at his mouth and goatee with a cloth napkin. Heat and fierce, smoky winds wafted off of him, not that mortals could notice. Approaching through his mystic wards was like trying to walk casually through a sandstorm. She had to look calm, though, make it seem easy. Too much depended on it. Hello, the succubus said, sauntering over to the table. I thought I sent someone up here, but I'm afraid I don't know what name you prefer.
Rob,
he responded when he could. He gestured for her to take a seat opposite him.
Robert Gorge. I thought I felt another presence here. You're Lorelai, aren't you?
I am, she nodded.
You look like you've seen better days, honey.
She heard no sympathy in that voice, but expected nothing of the sort. I have. I am on the mend, she conceded, running one hand through her hair. That was the truth.
The raw, straightforward fucking three floors down healed and revitalized her all at once. Lorelai could virtually feel what Audrey felt, and enjoyed it almost as much, but outwardly the succubus presented natural serenity. Lorelai watched Rob break a crab leg open and draw out the meat with practiced ease. He'd obviously had a great many. She felt no less self-indulgent at that moment.
As they say, Lorelai shrugged, you should see the other guys.
Ha! If they look worse than what they did to you,
Rob grunted, waving an empty crab leg shell at her.
Then yeah, I'd like to see that.
What is left of them?
Lorelai said dismissively.
I do not know if my attackers operated alone or as someone's agents. Nothing remained to be interrogated. I don't suppose you would know the lay of the land here.
Rob chewed thoughtfully.
I'm the first person you've asked? We kinda work for different companies.
I've always had a bit of an independent streak. Reporting back every little bump and bruise isn't my style.
Huh.
Grunted the other demon. The ethereal sandstorm intensified along with his scrutiny.
Don't hold back, Alex, she thought.
A week ago, Lorelai could have handled this without trouble, but she wasn't remotely at her best now. That exhilarating feeling of Alex's pleasure bolstered her ability to resist. Rob used much more than simple wordplay to evaluate his visitor. Lorelai had to put up a strong front, both to remain inscrutable and to stand her ground. The strength drawn from Alex's indulgence made all the difference. Still, Lorelai was a succubus without wings or horns or tail. Any demon could see that. Rob could see the scars that Alex did not. She'd have to play it all off like it didn't hurt as badly as it did. It never helped to look weak in front of Hell's own.
I thought you were one of Belial's, Rob said. How much hassle would it be to go straight to him?
I am not placed so directly near the top, Lorelai replied with feigned indifference.
That ain't true,
Rob smirked.
You've got a rep. I wouldn't recognize just any succubus, but I know who you are.
He gave her another long, searching look as the wheels turned in his mind. This was no punishing demon. This one was made to tempt and corrupt.
You don't want the boss to see you like this. You're looking for a shortcut. I can see how that'd help, but help's gotta be paid for.
His meaning was plain. They all wanted this from the succubi.
Oh, God, yes, yes,
Audrey whimpered into Alex's ear. Both arms stayed wrapped around his shoulders as they kept grinding. She had given in entirely to him, only barely trying to help with their shared motion. Audrey had brought him in here as the seductress, as the experienced older woman, and now virtually all her composure was gone. Alex didn't stop. He was too close himself, and her admissions in his ear only turned him on more. She'd feel wondrously worn out later. Later. He'd be with Lorelai later, too. For now, he was more than happy to stay with Audrey, who would have had him utterly dazzled, were it not for the succubus. But that succubus set this up. She'd be all over him later, or he'd be all over her, when he and Audrey were done. She let out another grateful sigh.
Now I see what your girlfriend meant about you.
In that moment, with Audrey intimately wrapped around him and moaning her pleasures into his ear, Alex stopped worrying. Lorelai wanted this for him. She practically engineered it with a smile. Audrey wanted it too, for all her own reasons. For just a moment, he allowed himself a selfish thought. When he was done with this lay, there was another waiting. His life could be like this for a very long time. Release. Downstairs, Audrey rode Alex over the edge. Lorelai shared in joy and satisfaction without letting a bit of it show. She didn't need to, and Rob didn't need to know. Inside, Lorelai felt the blissful emotional rush and revitalization of climax. On the surface, she maintained a remarkable facade. It grew even stronger as her victim indulged his lusts. My options for payment are limited, Lorelai smiled,
giving a conciliatory nod. What Rob wanted was no option, and wouldn't have been regardless of her strength. It was best to make that plain. A week ago, it would have been no problem, a minor chore at the very worst. Now the thought of copulating with this one turned her stomach. Suddenly, rather than indifference to Alex's restrictions, she actually felt gratitude.
That's too bad.
Rob frowned.
I had always figured Belial's for the kind to keep all options on the table. I'm sure we could work a little something out.
We all have our restrictions. Lorelai shrugged again. The feeling was so good, and then, abruptly, stopped, totally interrupted. One second, Alex basked in the afterglow, ready for another go-round with his playmate, and in the next, suddenly nothing. The demon across from her pressed on.
Yeah, but not Belial's legion.
Rob shook his head and then stuffed his mouth with a pair of fried shrimp.
You guys have to give your all. Every day,
he managed, threw too many morsels at once, then he swallowed.
I know how Belial's works. No slacking, no hesitation, no price too high, no shame too low.
Yes, well, Lorelai said, faltering a bit. I have had a change of allegiances. A mistake. An admission she did not want to make. One that would pique further curiosity. A demon of avarice and gluttony like this could compel such revelations, just as Lorelai could change her appearance to better approach a victim. She could see his rising eagerness. He was like a shark that had just smelled a hint of blood in the water. If she couldn't recover fast, he'd get much more information out of her than was safe for either herself or Alex. Taylor was ready to kill that bitch. Audrey made a show of getting along with everyone, but she screwed most of the girls in the store one way or another. She replaced the old manager a year ago, tossed out a schedule that had been made to accommodate everyone, gave out crappy evaluations, and was now almost certainly screwing the sweetest guy Taylor knew. Okay, that may have been an exaggeration, but Alex had always been unfailingly nice to her. He was easily one of her best friends not 2 years ago. Maybe not the closest, but he was always solid. She knew how much he liked her, knew he wanted to be more than friends. She couldn't not know. That was why she'd never let him in closer. He was cute and all, smart, funny. Not as sexy as he was now, though. And when the hell did that happen? Good God, he was hot. She was getting jittery just thinking about it. But in high school, there was Alex, and there were other guys, and then there was Gabriel. Gabriel. There was a thought. She'd been so thrilled when he got the basketball scholarship that got him into UW and kept them together. Taylor wondered what her high school sweetheart was up to now, and with whom. He had a habit of being stupid while she was at work. Work used to be more fun. Then Audrey showed up. 2 minutes with Alex was all Taylor would need to explain that Audrey wasn't someone he wanted to fool around with. He would believe her. He deserved better than that bitch. He could do much better now, apparently. Fuck this. And fuck her. Guys, I'm gonna be off the floor for a few minutes, Taylor said over the headset. She strode past the dressing rooms, pausing only to confirm the soft but highly incriminating noises from number three. And thank God nobody was using the other two, and then retrieved her iPhone from her purse in the break room. She adjusted the settings on the phone and then walked back out into the dressing room hallway. No one else was there. The music kept bumping, so, it appeared, did the occupants of dressing room three. She hesitated, but only for a moment. This was Alex. He would forgive her. Taylor held her camera over the top of the door, snapped a picture and then another one. Then she did the same from the bottom edge. Then she checked the pictures. Best to make sure she had some evidence before she committed to the rest. And wow, was that evidence. She never thought she'd be jealous to see Alex clutching another woman's ass. The dressing room doors were taller than most, and locked from the inside. But if someone had a partially misspent youth, as Taylor had, popping the locks open with a credit card wasn't too much of a trick. Grinning evilly,
Taylor leaned up against the doorframe and took a nice, casual picture of the dirty action in front of her. This time, she used the flash.
Huh?
Alex grunted.
What the?
Audrey yelped. She turned, still straddling Alex, and blurted out, Taylor? Taylor snapped another picture. She caught enough of Audrey's face to provide solid evidence.
Audrey, your lunch break is over, Taylor said confidently. And you're needed on the floor. I can take over helping with this customer before I clock out for the night.
You... What the hell do you think you're doing?
Audrey got off her shocked, mortified partner and grabbed her skirt off the floor.
I think I'm filing my request for a shift change so you and I don't have to work together anymore. At least, until one of us gets a transfer to another store.
Audrey wasted no time in getting her skirt back on.
You think this is a good idea? You can't do anything with those pictures. They'll fire both of us.
Oh, noes. I might get fired from my part-time retail job while I'm in college.
The two stared at one another for a moment, and then Taylor gestured toward the hallway.
Shut up and get the fuck out, Audrey.
Taylor watched as her store manager fled, leaving her panties and Alex behind, and then closed and locked the door.
Wow,
she leered at Alex. When did you go all pimp daddy? Alex stayed in the chair, his pants pulled back up but not fastened. He kept his crotch covered mainly with his hands and the bottom of his shirt.
Taylor, I can,
She bit the corner of her lip, still grinning at him.
Okay. I can totally explain this.
Taylor stepped closer. You don't owe me an explanation, she said, her voice dropping. But I should probably thank you for giving me the chance to deal with that bitch.
She tossed the phone aside on a corner shelf and then ran her hand through Alex's hair. Alex's heart threatened to beat its way through his sternum. Taylor's eyes projected nothing but hunger.
Oh my God,
he mumbled.
God's not here, Taylor whispered. But I am. Still friends, right?
His mouth parted, as if to say something, but no words came out. She kissed it.
I should have done this a long time ago, she said,
reaching down to pull his shirt and hands away from his groin.
It's always nice to talk shop with a colleague,
Rob smiled. The flat firmness in his tone fell subtly out of place with his wording. He looked at her with a masterful blend of casual conversation and intimidating glare. He might as well have said it from behind a sandblaster. The invisible, insubstantial fear and fury that he projected threatened to overwhelm her. Demons like Rob weren't built for bullying. They were creatures of manipulation, not raw power. Where Lorelei worked with flesh and lust, Rob's kind dealt in money and greed. But in the face of a weak target, there was no reason not to be direct.
So, tell me,
Rob went on.
What happened to you?
Lorelei wanted to get up and run. She considered it, fighting rising panic, but knew that would only make things worse. If she ran, he'd have every reason to pursue. That would lead to bigger trouble. Blood was in the water. All she could do was maneuver.
Well, think it over, Rob, Lorelei said. Your sort is always better connected than mine. Who else is in this city?
A few people I could name. It's not as big as some other cities, but it's busy. Kind of an important place these days, lots of influential people. I knew you were here. You've got a name, one of the best, they always said. Like I mentioned, I'm kind of disappointed that you can't deal.
I can bargain,
Lorelei offered calmly.
Oh, sure, but not the way I'd like. New restrictions, you said.
Yes.
That's a tragedy. Who'd want to tie your hands like that? Keep you from using your best assets. You are what you are, right? That's gotta just drive you insane.
Suddenly, Lorelei's eyes went wide. The kiss Alex had dreamt of for 3 years fell upon his lips. It hit her like a wave, directly counter to the blazing fury before her. The urge to run diminished.
Alex was not having some random fling with a convenient random partner anymore. She closed her eyes for 2 seconds, 3 at most. Intimacy and excitement grew. Youthful longing and passion were being fulfilled, flooding her as surely as if she lay with Alex herself. A deeper kiss followed, with affectionate, groping hands. Teenage fantasy became adult reality.
The kiss Alex had dreamt of for 3 years fell upon his lips.
Lorelai's eyes opened. A corruptor sat in front of her, thinking he could just intimidate her. She could likely just pitch the little bastard through the window out into the street below. The change in his expression told her that he knew it, too. Lorelai smiled broadly. It was a rough transition, but indisputably for the best.
The fuck's keeping him?
Mike fumed.
Fuck if I know,
Javon shrugged.
Maybe he really is in there shopping for panties,
Tony scowled.
That shit's complicated.
Mike and Javon slowly turned to look at Tony.
Seriously?
Javon deadpanned. It wasn't like Taylor didn't know how Alex got partly undressed or aroused or what he had done about it. She knew exactly why his skin was slick with sweat. Amazingly, she didn't care. In the back of her mind, she knew this was insane, but it was suddenly easy to dismiss the details. She devoured his lips and tongue with another kiss. She couldn't get enough of him. Alex's longtime crush wrapped her now bare legs around his hips, doing everything she could to have as much of him inside her as possible as she sank down onto him. Taylor felt every bit as good as Alex had ever dreamed, but it had always only ever been dreams. This wasn't just sex. He cared about her. He had always cared about her.
Taylor, this is, I don't.
Shh, Taylor said, putting a finger over his mouth, as she continued to gyrate against him.
We both know we both want this right now. It's just right now.
I don't want to just use you.
She giggled softly.
You're not using me. We're friends. Very close friends. I don't expect anything more. We're not being any naughtier than you were just 2 minutes ago.
I'm not, no. What about you?
You're the one supposedly shopping for your alleged girlfriend.
Her breath shook a little as she spoke, adding an odd, involuntary whine here and there in her voice. The stiff flesh within her clearly had an effect on her speech.
Won't she be mad if she finds out?
She'll know. She engineered that,
Alex said, nodding toward Audrey's exit.
My girlfriend will think this is hot.
Wow, kinky. Never would have figured you for a relationship like that.
She smiled into his lips.
Just keep it to yourselves.
What about you?
Well, if you see my Facebook blow up tomorrow, it's been a long time coming, and it isn't about you at all. Don't jump into it.
You know, I've always been crazy about you,
Alex said.
I think everybody knew.
Grinding slowly against him, Taylor nodded.
Are you okay if this isn't more than it is?
It's something.
Yeah, but I have things to sort out.
Still friends?
Alex didn't feel disappointed. He still cared, but he was also over her now. His feelings just weren't what they were in high school anymore. Taylor nodded.
I might want a booty call now and again, if that's okay.
I like that a lot.
His hands gently roamed under her shirt. She had always found Alex adorable, but never realized just what he could deliver.
Definitely a booty call now and again,
Taylor groaned. Rob remained in his seat, but he wanted to get up and run. The succubus had him cornered on his own turf. It didn't matter that she looked so beat to shit. That predator's grin said it all. She could tear him limb from limb and scatter him so far and wide that it would take years to get himself back together.
After that, his masters would punish him for getting into such a predicament in the first place. What had changed so suddenly? Maybe she had just been putting on an act? Were the scars all illusory? Could this all have been some ploy to lure him into conversation rather than immediate fight and flight?
Whom do you serve?
Lorelai smiled. He blinked. Perhaps that would ward her off?
Azazel,
he said bravely.
Lot of us here. Not that you'd see us all coming.
Well, it's smart for you boys and girls to stick to the shadows, the succubus said patronizingly. Wouldn't want to get stepped on by the bigger players. On that note, is there anyone else here I would recognize?
Lydia's here,
Rob began hesitantly.
And Harrow.
One eyebrow rose up.
Lydia and Harrow? Together?
Well, I don't know. I don't know why they're here. It's not like Ball ever showed an interest in the city. She only turned up recently. They've both approached me for material aid, which I gave, but that's about it. And I told them I'd keep it quiet.
Good job on that, Lorelai remarked dryly. Who else?
Not many of the others show themselves.
I am also curious of those who would fall in between. The interesting ones. Rob fumed. He didn't like being bullied.
What do I get for all this? You said you would bargain.
She smiled again, and he stared at that smile.
That mouth is made to be stuffed full of dick, he thought. But not his dick. That would definitely not be happening. Fucking damn it.
Lorelai glanced down at the table. I'll pick up your whole tab here.
This is an all-you-can-eat buffet,
Rob protested. So don't hold back, she said, gesturing at the buffet counters.
Arrogant fucking cunt,
Rob fumed silently. It galled him that this only made him want her more, but even demons sometimes wanted what they couldn't have.
Others? She asked.
He sighed.
About as many vampires in this town as you would expect.
Lorelai made a disdainful face, as if he'd farted right in front of her.
They count as interesting?
Well, I guess not.
Rob had to concede. He pondered a moment.
Woods are full of all sorts of critters, but they keep to themselves. There are some believers and practitioners around here who do a little more than just pose and dabble.
That caught her interest. Tell me what you know, she said flatly. Javon checked the time on his cell phone and cursed.
Nobody takes that long looking at women's undies lest they trying the shit on. Maybe he's that way,
Tony shrugged.
Like, who are we to judge? Yeah, don't go all fucking homophobe, Javon.
Mike nodded.
The fuck? What's wrong with you? Jesus. Look, we done waiting. We gonna go in there and get his ass.
Javon took off walking with Tony and Mike quickly falling in line behind him.
Could be he getting a blowjob in the back room,
Mike suggested.
Girls working in lingerie store gotta be a little freaky. Shit, that stuff only happens in porn.
Tony countered. The store was mostly empty when the three entered. Only the closing crew and a few random customers remained. Not everyone noticed the three men as they arrived. Even then, nobody jumped to conclusions. Their thug-life attire wasn't that alarming, but the all-business expressions on their faces kept people out of the way. It was Javon who found the dressing rooms. Two were open, one was occupied. He glanced down at the bottom of the door and saw a man's sneakers and crumpled pants. Frowning, he paused, and he heard what sounded like kissing.
Shit, really?
He wondered. This appeared to be the only guy in the store. It was worth checking. Worst case, they lost their guy and would have to leave the mall. Javon had been thrown out of Pacific Place before. It wasn't a thing. He pulled his bank card out of his pocket and slipped it in under the latch.
Sure enough, there was a couple on the dressing room chair.
One of the sales girls was on the dude's lap, going at him slow but hard,
and neither one heard Javon enter until the door banged against the wall. Both looked up with a start. Javon already had his 9 partially drawn from his coat. "Don't say a fucking thing," he warned quietly but darkly. "I'll be long gone